All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind featuring Carrie, JK, and Joe Freeman, and myself, Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. On this week's call, we wanted to give you some fun ideas on how you could entertain fans with fun videos until you, you know, are able to get out and play again. These are great ideas, whether you're out and playing or not. So even if you are out playing at some point again, once you do that, it starts doing it again. These are things that you make a habit of and fans really like, you might want to continue. There's an element of this of throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. I understand that. Also, I understand that some of these ideas, some of you may recoil at. You may be like, oh my God, I could never do that. That's fine. Don't have to do all the ideas. Some of them are wacky. They're just wacky ideas. But I would say have an open mind and maybe try some of them, because you're not sure what your fans are really going to enjoy, or what's going to resonate with them. So have fun with it. This is just an opportunity. You know, at this point, you're not doing anything else. We're not playing gigs or anything like that. Some of us are practicing with our band. Some of us aren't. So you've got the time to sort of mess around with this. The one thing you will not find on this list is a performance video. Everybody is doing a performance video. Okay.
That is duh.
Exactly. So there's no real reason for me to put that on the list. Of course, you know, a lot of people are doing that, but there's a lot of other fun things that I think we forget about. And I think even I have a list, but I think that even with the group here, with between Joe and Carrie, I think they probably have some ideas or some variations on some of my ideas. So we'll have a good time with this. So welcome, everybody. Carrie, Joe, how's life? Everybody all right?
Yeah. Yes. Trundling on through, looking after family mostly.
Same here.
How's it going being a school teacher, Joe?
Takes up a lot of time, but it's rewarding in certain ways. So,
okay. Yeah, quality time with the kids there—that's good stuff. Yeah. So, let's talk about this, because we just mentioned Carrie came on and said that he just was fixing a leak. Did you say he had a pipe break or something? Is that what you said?
No. Kind of paint spill.
Oh, paint spill. Paint spill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paint spill, yeah.
And I mentioned that Joe is working with his son, you know, on his schoolwork every day. So this brings me to my very first topic, or my very first idea for a fun video you can do, is a sort of day in the life. Now, you don't have to film all day. You could take, you know, bits and pieces as you'd go through different things. If you have a little bit of editing capabilities, it can even be rough. It doesn't even have to be real slick at all. You can film throughout the day, then put together some of the highlights, some of the whack. Don't be afraid to show yourself in a kind of self-deprecating light. Don't be afraid to show yourself saying something stupid or doing something stupid and having a good laugh at yourself. People love that. They want, I mean, some of the biggest television comedies and stuff on that have ever, you know, come out have been showing people in those kind of lights. Now, I mean, you don't have to, you know, if you do something super embarrassing you want anybody to know about, that's different. But just a normal day-to-day type stuff. And this lets your fans know that you're a real person, you're dealing with stuff too, and probably could spark conversation, you know, with fans. They're going to say, oh my God, I'm going through that too. You know, how are you dealing with it? Well, and they may have ideas and you may have ideas. And so pretty soon you start to, you know, kind of take these people who are maybe casually listening to you or checking you out, bringing them more into your world. You guys have any comments on that? You want to say anything about that, Joe, Carrie?
One thing I'd say about that and those sort of like day in the life things, obviously this is going to tie into what kind of a performer you are as well. So I know you said we're not doing performance videos here, but it is going to tie back into the kind of performer you are. And there's two ways you can go with this. If the kind of performer you are is very different to your everyday life, you can deliberately mark the contrast. So here I am out of character. Or you can go the other way and fictionalize in a very wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of way. Obviously, you're not trying to fool anybody. If you try and fool anybody, that is the absolute worst way to go with this. If you're trying to say, this is my life, and obviously it isn't, if people think you're sort of trying to fool them with it, then they will react aggressively. However, I've said before about the contract, the performer audience contract, where you build up a world that's a lot more interesting than the actual one you inhabit, and they go along with it because it is interesting. So here's the thing: if you're in a death metal band and you'd have lots of skulls and stuff on stage all the time, lots of shock horror stuff, then what you could start doing is just having like very mundane, everyday to day things, but then little things are creeping in, like you're going through the cupboard to make some coffee, and there's a jar of a head in it there, and you don't mention it, you just carry on, or your buddy comes round and. Or there's somebody who is like the odd couple, and you start like writing little bits in there just to slip in, not in like a full on way, but just as a like messing about sort of thing. And that's what you end up doing there with something that's got little bits of every day in there, but you're obviously messing about, and you obviously got your tongue in your cheek firmly about it. And that's probably a good way to go, is to fictionalize just enough to make it interesting. Then keep just enough for Israel.
That's a great idea, Carrie. As you were talking about that, and I was thinking about real life. On the doing something, if you're doing something a little bit more real, the entertainment value there is if you are some kind of like serious rock musician, but then there you are changing diapers or something, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, here's the guy in the leather with the long hair and everything, you know, but no, wait a minute, he's got to change a diaper or stuff like that. So stuff like that can be like really fun as well. So there's a lot of different ways to approach it. to like, you know, hey, no, I'm just a normal guy, you know, but like, I'm also, you know, so it makes sense. I mean, I think that was part of the fun of like the Osbournes, you know, yeah. You had this guy who was just like the Prince of Darkness, but he was a sort of like, kind of like, you know, bumbling dad. He was kind of like Homer Simpson in real life, you know?
Yeah. So. you can use the people in your household and see how much they want to go along with it. And they probably will. If you've got a significant other, give them a part in this. It doesn't even have to be what they're genuinely like. In fact, I mean, like, there's an old trope here, and it goes back to Louis Prima and Keeley Hawes had this whole bit going on along the time where she was just like really like fed up of him the whole time. So he's clowning around, and she basically plays straight and just sort of like yell at him or do the bit. so she'd be like the straight person for him to play off of, or just something like, "Are you doing those stupid videos again? When are you gonna do the washing up?"
Stuff like that, yeah. Yeah, kind of like Honeymooners episode. Joe, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, so my son, since we're talking about homeschooling, discovered Funniest Home Videos last night. Mm. And that's all about, you know, mistakes happening and people being put in weird situations. I would say when you're cutting your videos, you don't have to be perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. If something happens, it's a little blooper, just roll with it. You know what I mean? Absolutely. They want to see that you're transparent and that you're real anyways, and you never know what little things they're going to find funny or attractive to them that's going to then get talked about and make the video get shared. Mm.
Great idea. This brings me, because Carrie mentioned your spouse, or this brings me to my next idea, which is interview your significant other, or if you aren't with it, say you're living with your folks or your parents or your mom or your dad or whoever your guardian is, about your being a musician, and let them give their sort of like brutally plain, honest opinion about it. And you can make it funny. You can roll your eyes, or you can, maybe it's super supportive. Maybe it ends up being very touching. Maybe there were great sacrifices that were made, and you know, it really moves people and like really inspires people. There's a lot of, it can be hilarious and it can be very moving. It could be a combination of both. You may not be comfortable, guys. I just want to say real quick, just preface all of these by saying, don't do something you're like completely like, you know, if you know, you're living with your significant other, but you're getting divorced. It may not be, be really fun video. But like, if you're not comfortable with that, I get
it's going to be real bittersweet, that one, isn't it?
you know. So so that is another aspect of which that's another option you can do, and it could be a series. You know, maybe you have, maybe it isn't just your significant other. Maybe it's a little bit of everybody. Maybe you do one with your mom. Maybe you do one with your dad, and you do one with your kids, and you do one with your ex-wife or whoever. And these can be like really deep insights into your path as a musician. Can be really fascinating for people, and you don't know where something like this might go. It could become viral. It could lay there like a turd in punch bowl. I mean, you don't know. You know, you run it up the flagpole, see who salutes it. You guys have any comments or ideas on that?
Yeah, so I want to say that, you know, it doesn't have to be your spouse or your family members inside your home. It can be anybody you know that is interesting or that has an interesting story to tell about.
You're getting ahead of me, but okay.
Sorry. That's okay. You creating your music or what you went through or, you know, just anything that they feel is, you know, that made an impact to them. And then also it doesn't have to be live. Like some of these people will be afraid or won't want to do it live. So you can always do the interview, record it, and then just cut certain parts and really make them look, make them look good or make them look stupid. It depends on, well, as long as they're okay with it, right? You don't want to put off your family and friends and
Well, you could do fun stuff with that too. Is like you could put them in a dumb wig. Is because they don't want to be identified on camera. You know, I mean, there's like there's all kind of fun stuff you could do with it. It doesn't, you know, you could do the whole thing where you put them in shadow and distort their voice.
Yeah,
like on this conspiracy
to catch a predator
show.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, there's, so you could really play it up. If somebody has a certain personality trait, you could really exaggerate it. You know, one of the things that we were talking about doing in Strangelove was, putting out an interview series with each member of the band, but our drummer has this like really kind of crazy personality and this really, I don't know how to put it. He's kind of like a nerdy guy, but like really cool guy. So what we were going to do is like, my interview was going to be normal. Dave's interview was going to be completely normal, but Gary's, he was going to be like laying like on a silk sofa with like scantily clad women fanning him and feeding him grapes while we like interviewed him. You know, like, I don't know if you ever saw the Rock and Roll Circus interview with Keith Moon where the dominatrix is whipping him while he's being interviewed and she starts to slow down. He's like, no, keep going. He like yells at her. You know, it's just a normal interview. He's just like talking about stuff, but there's this dominatrix in it. It's like it's totally crazy.
If I'd been directing that bit, I'll tell you how it would have ended. He would have done all that and it would have gone there. And then he finishes speaking and he's waiting there. And then he realizes they're still waiting on him. Fine, now. And he has to start paying them off.
Yeah, there's so that's just a you know, you can do wacky stuff with it. Don't use your imagination with every single one of these. Have fun with it, because it could be all kinds of different stuff you could do. I'm gonna kind of switch it up a little bit from interviewing and day in the life stuff to something a little bit different. Is write a song with your fans. So, I mean, maybe this is something you don't, maybe it becomes awesome and it becomes a song you actually record. Maybe it just becomes a kind of a novelty thing, you know. Also, by the way, Joe mentioned a live thing. None of these have to be live if you don't want to do them live. If you're uncomfortable with live, you can, you know, put it, you could do like a video series on the song, have people
comment, go back and forth.
Well, you could, if live would be better for this, but if you don't want to do it live, I think live is best for this, but if you don't want to do it live, you could do like a little video series. We do a few minutes, you post it on your Facebook group, get the comments, you know, you could go back and forth, but Carrie's right. It should probably be live. Some of these work best live for sure, but they don't have to be. So the song could be anything. It could be complete. It could be something seriously heavily in your genre. It could be a kind of a novelty song about like maybe what's going on in the world. It could be, you know, if you've done a day in the life and there's some stupid thing that maybe everybody latched onto, maybe you guys write a song about it together and you have fun with it. And it keeps people engaged. One of the things that I was doing in my group last year was, I was, as a song that I wrote with Keith, I wrote them in real time in doing Facebook Lives. And a lot, I got messages, private messages and emails from people saying, like, this was absolutely fascinating. I never understood the process. This was so cool to hear this go from just some kind of guitar riff that you were working out to, like, produced thing with musicians playing and lyrics and stuff like that. I got really good feedback on that, which probably tells me I should do more of that. So don't be shy about stuff like that. I mean, if you're shy about it, then don't. If you're too shy, then just don't do it. But it is a legitimate thing. Comments, questions?
I actually have a question. So does this kind of go hand in hand with, like, the cover by fans? So, like, you would do a verse or a chorus and then take it as far as you got it, like, on a video, and then ask your audience, like, hey, you know, what do you think the next part of this should be, or how would that work? Like,
would they
feed you videos back of them, like, playing the next verse?
I didn't do it with them feeding me videos back, but I would play this and I go, what do you guys think about that?
Okay.
And it'd be comments. Yeah. I like that. That sucked. Play that faster. No, change that. No, I like the first beat you use. No, play the first riff, or that second riff was better. I would take lyric suggestions as well, as we got to that point with the songs. We took some lyric suggestions as well. But it was basically that. But Joe, what you Joe just said is totally doable as well. You know, so if they want to hum something in to their record, or if you want to do a group thing like we're doing now, you want to pull everybody together on Zoom. Say, I'm going to do a Zoom call. I'm going to work on this song. You know, bring your guitar. Let's
go ahead and jam. Latency will be an issue there, but no, it's one that can be overcome.
Right.
And what was I going to say there? It can be a sort of serious thing. You can sort of, like, do it like your college improv troupe. Well, like, tell me something, I'll write a song about it. But actually, like, this idea of it being much more of a collaborative thing there, and just, I mean, like, the comparison here is like something that you might do generally as a performer when you go out and do your gigs. Something you do, if you don't have one already in your town, would be to start up an open mic somewhere, or better still, set up a jam night. And one could be the other, where it's an open mic night, but the other thing we do is people just get up and join in and play together. And those sorts of things are the lifeblood of the music a lot of the time. And that's how everyone gets to know each other. People can go down, know it's going to happen. They know it's all going to be rough and ready because that's this feeling about it. And it becomes a thing for the musicians. It's not really a place where you're going to get your fans along, although some of them might, because the sort of fans who like to come and see behind the scenes will come along to watch for that reason. And so what we're describing here is basically an online jam night.
Yeah,
and so you can come along as a spectator, or you can come along as somebody who wants to join in and jam.
Yeah, that there's several different ways to structure. Carrie, that's a great idea. You know, that's a lot of fun. Folks can come in, they can join in, or, you know, like I said, you can do them where, you know, you do them on your page, your group, and, you know, work within the comments. However, I mean, you know, however you're comfortable doing it, maybe you start one way, but then you decide to expand it. Some of these things could, as you do them and you find stuff that catches on, some of this stuff might be the kind of thing that you do for your Patreon subscribers only. You know, maybe, you know, in order for them to jam with you, you know, that's a Patreon level or something like that at some point. I would say don't worry about that in the beginning, but some of these type of things could ultimately become something like that. It's something we're talking about here with the mastermind as well as, you know, having other people on as part of a VIP kind of program. So, you know, once you do start playing live again, some of these ideas, if they're working, I would tell you to keep doing them. Because people, your fans are obviously liking them, and you're going to just do nothing but, you know, deepen that relationship. But again, I don't want to get on a thing about money or anything like that. Like, this is like a kind of a money making thing. At this point, it's just to kind of, like, see what they like, see what works. Plus, you're going to get tons of ideas. You're going to hear things about your music you never thought of before. You're going to go. People are going to say all kinds of things, and I don't mean in a bad way. If you pay attention, you're going to learn a lot about your audience, what they're, like, kind of looking for, and you can really work within your brand. We're not talking about pandering or being fake. We're talking about, you know, this kind of like little choices you make throughout your career. What do you guys, somebody wants to say something.
Yeah, so they, I mean, these types of videos that we're talking about here, some of these videos are promotion and get people on board. But then other ones like this that are more collaborative. Actually, I'll give you one example I have referred to before where it was actually a product thing. But when it is more collaborative and something that's more just about having another angle, that probably falls more into the category of setting yourself up for future opportunities. It's like not everything, some things are there to plant seeds or to get things moving.
Right, good point. Where,
rather than to generate instant profit. But one way that this was, the first time I saw this in action was about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was on Instagram. And it was an art, and I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it now.
Tell it again.
All right, I'm going to tell it again. And it was an artist, a visual artist. And what he did, he had the camera down on his sheet and he was doing his painting or his drawing, and he was talking about it. It was like watching Bob Ross.
Okay.
Sort of like be doing his little trees. And and at various points, he'd ask the people watching, what do you think? Do you think I should have a flower here or a tree here? And they'd say, all right, I agree with you. I'm going to put this tree here. And then all this would happen. And he'd say, I'm thinking of doing, and he'd be talking through the whole process, but it was interactive. Everyone's going there. And then when finally the picture was done, he said, right, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go and put this on my online store. If you want to buy it, you'll find it right there now. And then I'll be right back here in 20 minutes and we'll start all over again. And he did. So that means now he's created this piece of artwork. Everyone's been a part of that. So immediately he's got a customer base who are invested in this thing who might want to buy it. I don't know if he was selling. He's probably selling prints as well as the original. Because I can't imagine him not doing that if that's what he's doing.
Brilliant.
So he would have put it up on his store and he's saying, I'll be selling prints for this. And if you want the original, it'll be this. And then 20 minutes later, he comes back and he'd just do that all day. So it's just like inviting people into a studio on this camera over Instagram. And when I saw that, and this was before I'd heard of anybody doing online performances and busking, and I thought, this is online busking. And so I did. I went and tried. I tried doing exactly that and just sitting and playing for meetings. I did that, and it went well. And that's when I found other people were doing it. But now we're getting to the point now where about 4 or 5 years later, it's taken a deadly virus to get people looking seriously at it. But yeah, all that stuff's been there, and some people have been early adopters for years. So I do look around at what people are doing, and there's certainly visual artists especially who've been all over this for some time now.
Okay, I'm going to move on to another suggestion in the same spirit of this write a song with your fans. Practice your instrument with your fans. So, for instance, say you as a guitar player, so here's a song like I want to learn on the guitar. I want to learn and I want to be able to play really well. Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson. Right, my way of playing it right now is embarrassing. It's terrible. I suck at it, but I want to get good at it. So invite people to watch you learn it. So I want to learn this Hendrix solo, and you post an event in your group, say, you know, Tuesday night at 9, watch me, you know, make a fool out of myself trying to figure out how to play, you know, all the solo to All Along the Watchtower or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And people will come in. Will people like, I don't know, but I would definitely try it because I think people will ask questions. I think people will find the process really interesting because there are people who probably following you who are musicians who will want to know kind of like, does he know some way of learning a song? I don't know. And there are people who aren't musicians who will be like, how does somebody learn how to play a song? Like, you know, so, and there are people that are just going to want to hang out with you because maybe you make faces when you play it wrong and you smack yourself in the head or yell out funny curses or whatever as you're doing it. And whatever your instrument is, if you're a vocalist, same thing. I'm going to be working on Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf. Come hang out with me while I do it. You know, and some people will just want to hang out. Some people will ask questions. Some people have good suggestions. Is it just a different thing you can do? Any comments on any of that, guys?
That one, the we'll call technical practice, which is some songs you aren't necessarily going to perform, but you do because they're going to improve you. Mm-hmm. Actually, that really is letting people have a look at the inner workings there, because that's stuff that the general public don't know happens. As far as they know, we have an idea for a song we want to do, and then it just happens like magic. And that's how talent works. And you can say, no, it really isn't. It really isn't how it works. We have to work. Even if you're a punk musician, you're doing something that looks haphazard. A lot of work goes into making that haphazard looking thing that's best as good as it can be. So in that example there, you can go deep on, you don't just like listen to the record and then play it and call it a day. You would go back and say, here's why he chose this particular technique at that time. The guitar, you could refer to the fact that he was playing this. So I know that if I want to play this like Hendrix, straight away he was left-handed and I'm not. So how's that going to affect my interpretation of this?
Right.
And so you might talk about little things that he chose to do there and say, I'm not going to do it that way because, but instead I'm going to sort of like do this. You might talk about little things around it. Another thing, this is not going to be for everybody. This is going to be deeply boring for a lot of people. But for a few other people, it's going to be fascinating. And especially if you show that why you would go to that extra level there. And if you are going to go down this path, for that, don't dumb it down at all. Actually really do go in there and just show just how much work you actually put into what you do. Because a lot of people just think if you're talented, it's magic, it just happens. This is your chance to prove, no, actually, I do a lot of work with this. And other times if you are, it means nothing if you don't work at it. Don't do it in a lecturing sort of way, but just show how interesting it can be. And if you're practicing properly, it does take you off and down all sorts of rabbit holes. It's probably a good idea if you're going to do this, though, to structure down roughly where you're going to go with it in the first place.
Right. And figure out your own skill level on something so that, like, for instance, that Cliffs of Dover, like, that's very ambitious. I would probably make sure that I kind of had a handle on it before I started getting into the minutia of it in front of people. I might want to do that. Or I might want to pick something a lot easier. So that I can learn it and demonstrate it in 10, 15 minutes as opposed to something that takes, or maybe not. Or maybe I do a series on a complicated piece by Yngwie or Alan Holdsworth or something like that. And people see how complicated it is. And then maybe they come away with a greater appreciation and realize that, like, oh, those Patreon dollars he's asking for. Oh, I see why, man. This is a lot of. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into stuff like this. So there's a lot. Again, try it. Run it up the flagpole. See if anybody salutes it. If not, stop doing it or don't do it or whatever. So we're not saying that these are all like the greatest ideas in the world. Moving on to something completely different. Share a non-music hobby or interest. So, we all have other stuff we like. We all have other stuff that we do. Maybe you're into fitness. Maybe you're into sports. Maybe you make something. Maybe in your spare time, you like to make toys in your workshop. I don't know. Okay. Maybe so stuff like that can be really fun for people. This is like maybe taking something that happens in the day in the life and, doing a weekly video on it and talk. Maybe it relates to music. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it could be a wide variety of things. Guys, have any comments on something like that?
So the one thing that is kind of just in my mind is you don't want to do just one of these and, while before Lou said, don't worry, don't think just about monetization. You do different ones, try it out repeatedly. Don't do it once and stop because you're improving. Two, you don't know what's going to, your audience is going to connect with. The first few, you may not get a lot of views, a lot of exposure, monetary, whatever your goals are. But the more you do it over time, the more things will get natural, or the more you'll just figure it out more. So don't start and give up, and don't just do one video type.
Exactly. It might take 5 or 6, 10,
100.
Write a song with your fans, jam with your fans or whatever before you kind of like figure out, or maybe you do it a couple times and it doesn't quite work, but then you realize, oh, it's because I was doing something that, I was doing it wrong. And you find a way and you tweak it and it really blows up. So you have to try. And also, what's wrong? You're writing a song. So you're getting something that these are all things that you're kind of doing anyways. We're just sort of saying, let's bring the fans in and see what they like and what they don't like.
Think about it this way. Lou, you were saying you're working on that one song right now and you're not so good, so you don't know if you would share it right now.
Yeah.
But if you shared it today and you really weren't that great, and then you sporadically you redid this playing the song with your fans, okay? And then, like, I don't know how long it takes. Let's say it takes 3 months. 3 months from now, like, you're jamming it. Like, it's perfect. Everything's rocking. You can cut that first video of you really sucking and then connect it to the one with you being really, really great. And then it becomes a piece that you can put out there, and your fans may like that. They may like to see, like, the immediate, okay, this is, you know, him struggling and this is what he got to. I'm going to continue pushing along, trying to learn this song because that's where I'm at right now. You know what I mean?
Something I did not have on the list, and this I should have thought, was teach your fans something. And I think that is a great, what you just said was great, because you could start out with totally sucking at something, and then in a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, have it together. Then you edit together, you get yourself a cool video editor and with different, you know, and you put together a piece that you put out on YouTube is, you know, that shows the development. So, I mean, if you do have your eye on teaching people, they can see, oh, this is the progression. And how he learned it or whatever, you could definitely leverage it for that. It could also just be a really interesting piece for fans, for them to kind of just see your process, you know, kind of evolve. We take that 3 months and we condense it down into a 10-minute video or 5-minute video with bits of you commenting in between about your frustration or how you feel like you're getting it or you're not getting it or whatever. That's a good idea, Joe. I think it's freaking great idea.
And if you are a teacher and your students are okay with it, you could do that for your students. One, it becomes a nice little piece for them. But two, it becomes a promotional piece for you. And promotion doesn't always mean get money now. Promotion means get exposure for what you're doing.
Setting up future opportunities.
Right.
Setting up
future. So as long as your students are okay with it, that could be a really good piece to say, hey, look, these are the problems we were facing. This is them playing. Now look how happy they are. They're able to jam that out. You know what I mean?
I'm going to make a quick note because you guys said a word that's kind of a very controversial word in our industry. And we'll come back to this. I don't want to get off on this right now, but you
I'm
said
the, go to the
you,
principal's office after this.
You said, you said the word exposure. And we will talk about that because there's a lot of musicians that bitch about this exposure thing. Well, I don't want to. After the call, we'll have a, because I think this will be a great video, great podcast to do on when do you do something for exposure and when are you sort of like somebody pissing on your back and telling you that it's raining. I don't want to get off on a tangent.
That'll be an interesting conversation because I don't want to go off on a thing. Yeah. But as coaches and so forth, we want awareness.
Yeah,
which to me is the same thing as exposure, but that's a new. That's a whole different show.
Right. We'll get into that. Okay. So if you have a non-music hobby or interest, feel free to share it. Something else you could share is your favorite records. So listen to your favorite records with your fans and do a listening party where we all get on Zoom, we play Led Zeppelin 3 or we play whatever record is inspiring to you. And we talk about it, you know, we maybe mute the volume at times and we'll check out this part, point out cool things. It's like going to an art gallery with an artist. I don't know if you guys have ever done that and having them kind of like give you like some background on the different pieces and stuff. It can be insanely interesting. Even if you're not, I mean, I've gone and done that a couple times with people. And even though I didn't think I was interested in the piece, but when they started explaining it, it was like, oh wow. And all of a sudden I found myself appreciating something that I didn't even give a second look at before. Not everybody's wired that way, but there are people who love that. So you can do a series. I think this would be a great series, you know, right now, maybe with nothing going on, maybe once a week, but maybe, you know, when stuff gets going again, maybe you make it like a once a month, we do a listening party, you pick the album or you vote you know, what's the next one we want to do? You pick these five or whatever, and they vote, and we do a listening party on it. And I take you through it and explain, you know, the guitars and the drums and the vocals and the lyrics and things like that. And I think people really find you could also do this B on this would be a do this with your own album. And talk about, you know, so you basically you create a commentary track for each one of your songs. And we've talked about this before in terms of, you know, building your big, you know, release package. This is something you can add to your release package whenever you release your album, is to include this commentary CD where the music plays along and maybe you and one of the other band members or you and your producer or somebody kind of discuss it. Well, you could do this with your fans as well. And even if you didn't want to do the whole album at one time, you could pick select songs, or maybe you could go through it. You go through, once a week you pick, you know, you do one song at a time, you discuss the song, you talk a little bit about it. You could do a live where you bring people on a Zoom call and do it as a group. You could just do, you to just record the video yourself, listening, talking, etc. So these can be short bits, long bits, just different ways of doing it. You guys have any thoughts on that?
So as an artist, when you go in and look at an art piece, you have your own experience that you go through, your own feelings, your own, like you see it a certain way. But when the actual artist who did it comes over and talks to you, you see that piece of art from a whole different light. It gives you different, you see like their world and their spin on it and their emotions, and then you kind of tie that together, which gives you a deeper connection to the artists themselves, because you just had an experience, now they're telling you about the artwork. It really creates a coercion between the two of you. With your music, it's the same thing. Like if I hear your song, but then you tell me what made you write it, what you were feeling when you wrote it, why, you know, you used a higher pitch here or a lower pitch there, then it really creates that same coercion. Did I say that right?
Anyway. Yeah, no, that's good. Another great thing that comes into that is I'm coming back to Bob Ross again now, is the happy accidents. Now, happy accidents are a lot of often the things that make tracks when you're making them. And there'll be something that just happened, well, by accident. It's where something went wrong during the production, but you ended up keeping it. And one of the classic examples of happy accidents in music, there was one that I don't know which one it is, but there was a particular Yes track where they had a tape loop on there, and the studio gave the job of splicing the tape, cutting the tape and sticking it back together to a new guy who messed it up. So what they ended up with on this loop was something like an 11/8 bar. Which is off of the beat. And
11/8, wow.
This was happening right at the end of the, I mean, it was Yes, so it was completely plausible that it was what they meant to do all along anyway. But it turns out that it wasn't in this particular case. But because it was so late in the recording cycle, they didn't have time to sort it out because they were about to head off on tour. So they had to urgently rehearse this song with that bar in there to match the tape loop because it was now on record and no one had noticed until it went on there. But that was a happy accident. Another one that was, I think it was Dolly Dagger by Jimi Hendrix, where there's a fade out, but there's like a really weird false ending on it. Do you know the track, Lou?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Is it the, and that's got this weird false ending where it fades out and then zooms back in again and then fades out again.
Yeah, I always wondered what the hell that was about.
Like, all right, I can tell you what the story was behind.
I figured
there
was a lot of drugs involved.
Well, maybe, but mostly what it was, he was sat in the control room, he was fading it out on there, and he was leaning back in his chair as he did it, and his chair fell over. So he quickly scrambled back up to the desk, pushed it back, and then finished the fade out. And then they looked at each other and they thought, actually, that was pretty cool, so they left it in. So that's what that fake ending in Dolly Dagger is, just because his chair fell over when he was doing the fade out.
And that gives you something to talk about with fans. And we all, you know, if you make music at all, you know, everybody has those. There's probably one on every song that I on the Strangelove album for sure. And the same way with the songs I'm putting out right now, there's little things where, you know, I just kind of ran across something accidentally hit the wrong patch and found a cool sound that I kept, whatever. Hooked an effect up the wrong way, the wrong, I'm making air quotes, way and got a cool tone or something like that. So tons of stuff like that. So you could get into that minutia with your fans, or as Kerry is an expert, he's kind of a musicologist of pop music, you know, listening to an album with him, you know, he could be pointing out all kind of really cool stuff that gives you like a new appreciation, like that Yes song, like that Jimi Hendrix song. You can do, mix it up, do some of yours, some other people's, and to kind of go along with the same kind of idea, but another video you could do altogether is, and we talked about hobbies or interests outside of music, you know, again, try it. Okay. I know some of these ideas seem kind of wacky to some of you guys, and some of you people are going to be like, ah, that's stupid. I'm like, then don't do it. If you think it's stupid, don't do it. But another idea would be to watch, you know, if you're binge watching something on Netflix, Shudder, or Amazon Prime or something right now, or Disney Plus or whatever, watch it with your fans. And you could do like a Mystery Science 3000, you know, kind of thing. You know, get
silhouettes.
Get the band together. Well, there's a video. There is a channel that where it's three guys. It's like three kind of redneck dudes watching Ancient Aliens. It's a YouTube channel, and they got thousands and thousands of views and comments, and people love it because these guys are making these goofy comments. That happened to Mildred one time. She was driving in the hills, and this flying saucer came down. You know, stuff like that. So it could be funny. You know, or you could watch a bad movie and do like a Mystery Science 3000. You could watch something you like and talk about why, you know, put on maybe, you know, Taxi Driver or The Godfather or whatever, you know, and do it with fans, you know, create a Facebook group, put it in your private Facebook group. You wouldn't want to do this in general. There's copyright things, guys. So you got to be a little careful about how you share and where you do stuff like this. Doing a private Zoom call, nobody's going to care. And then you share it on an email or something. You can make it an unlisted video on YouTube just to have it. But if you do stuff like this publicly, you got to watch it because you can get your hand slapped. Yeah. No serious legal action, but they'll do stuff like they'll mute the video or stuff like that. Get in serious trouble.
You know what the MST guys did after MST?
What was that?
After Mystery Science Theater 3000 got cancelled, do you know what the guys did next? Well, what the company they created was called Riff Tracks.
Oh, okay.
And you know Riff Tracks, and the tagline was we supply the riffs, you supply the movie. So what they did was they did exactly what they did on MST3K, only they weren't in character; they were just as themselves. So they built up the whole thing around. And obviously, the other thing with that was it's pretty open secret that when they did MST3K and then when they did Riff Tracks, it wasn't really off the cuff. They sat down and they watched the movie over and over, and they wrote what they were going to say at every point. And so that's what they did with Riff Tracks, and they came up with this thing that they were going to say along with it. And then what they did was they recorded it along with the movie. And when you bought the Riff Tracks, you would just get the audio, which they owned, and then you would get the movie yourself, and you'd play one alongside the other. So that's how they kept their company going without having to pay copyright. Yeah. And in the end, when they got picked up on Amazon and other channels, then it was up to whatever channel was broadcasting it to get the rights to the film.
To add the movie in.
I love the horror host stuff. Like Joe Bob Briggs.
Yeah. That's on Shudder, and that is a really good example. I wasn't even thinking about it. That's a great way of doing something.
But I mean, like, the thing with that, though, the frustrating thing, certainly in this country, is whenever Joe Bob Briggs does a new series and they advertise it on Shudder, we don't get to watch it over here because they can't license it. And so there'd be great gaps in the series. And I think at one point, one of the series, they did it where it was just his bits, but not the movie. But I thought, no, this just isn't working. I want to watch the movie with him.
I love his
comments on it.
Yeah.
So, there's that. But I mean, like, yeah, the licensing is always going to be an issue.
Yeah. It's just funny. I recently watched him watching Chud and Castle. And then I saw the Castle Freak. That was good. And Q, the Winged Serpent. I must be a Joe Bob Briggs fan. I didn't even realize it. I just realized it. But stuff like that, those are great ideas, Kerry. You just got to be careful. Like, you have to, if you're going to do something like that, you have to do it like on a Zoom call, and then like me, you offer it as something that people, hey, it's a great way to get people to subscribe to your email list. You know, check out our, you know, riff on whatever movie, E.T., you know, where, you know, we find, we'll show you all the like perverted stuff in ET, or I don't know. I'm just something sensationalistic to get people, you know what I mean? And they could do that, and you could do whatever you want with it. But those are, you do a Joe Bob Briggs kind of thing. You could do a mystery theater. Say, how would, what is it again?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mystery Science. I would get them mixed up. It's like Teenage Mutant Turtle Ninjas or something.
Yeah, see, that one, that's another sort of trope that's coming out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's just, it's like there's a bit of a meme that goes around of like combinations of words that fit that song, and yeah, pretty much anything does.
So that is that's another thing that you can have a lot of fun with. So if you're you know, a movie junkie, or you know, the, you know, you're binging, you're going back and like a friend of mine's binging, re-binging The Sopranos. You know, you can do fun stuff with anything like that. Point out goofy haircuts, you know, just whatever. You know, have your fans on, you know, make it like a party, everybody hanging out, and it could be a lot of fun. Speaking of fans, what about fan videos? A lot of different things you could do with this. Hey, do a cover of my song. You know what I mean? And get fans to do covers of your songs, and, you know, give a t-shirt or something. Pick one and send somebody a t-shirt or something. So that's another thing. Send me shoot a fan video, send it to me, and I'll make a music video out of it with one of my songs. Fun stuff. Just, you know, this gets the audience involved, makes them feel like they're part of the process, which they are, makes them part of the process, and people want to see what you did with it. It could be wildly entertaining. It could be, and it could be all kinds of things. Let them decide what they want to do, and then you put it to whatever song you think it, maybe it comes off. Maybe they take something really serious and make it really funny, or maybe they take something really funny and do something that you thought was lighthearted, and they do something really serious with it. So it could like really open up a lot of possibilities. You guys go, or, you know, just do like a, we haven't done this yet in my group, but, just offer, you know, everybody cover, I don't know, everybody cover Satisfaction by the Stones, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, however you want to do it. You know what I mean? And we'll like talk about it and have a good laugh, or, you know, maybe it'll be really good, or, you know,
or just do something creative with it. I mean, like, another thing is, I mean, like, goofy stuff's always great for this sort of thing. Like, a few weeks ago, I can't remember what it was, but I think it was somewhere on Twitter. Somebody had sent stock, tweet through to promote something. They'd done it really badly, and they'd tried to do a Facebook embed, but just left all their HTML code in the tweet, and it just looked really weird, apart from being really impersonal and rude anyway. So someone put underneath it a whole like sort of theory about how it was actually Delilah by Tom Jones, and that it worked to the tune of that. So I just grabbed my ukulele and just sang it to the tune of Delilah by Tom Jones and said, challenge accepted. And that got so many followers out of that. Just this daft little thing that we just did.
See, you have to think a little. Think more like Carrie thinks. Be a little bit outside of the box. Be, you know.
I said about waiting for that. That was just something that happened on that day, and I thought, hey, I've got half an hour to spare, and I know Delilah, and I can sing HTML to the tune of Delilah. So I did.
Sang HTML.
And it wasn't meant to be any sort of quality. It was just a completely stupid thing to do, but that's why people dug it.
Right. You know, make up nonsense lyrics and tell people to sing it to Stairway to Heaven or something like that.
But it helps if there's context, and it was something that was and that you did it because it was just something that happened rather than a look at me thing. That's what makes them. And you got these little throwaway moments.
Well, that and type of stuff you have to just kind of keep your eyes open for, and you can't necessarily plan. But we're trying to get something that people might be able to do consistently. Mm. But yeah, so fan videos and any other, Joe, any ideas on fan? You got anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. All right. I mean, even dancing to it, even if you don't sing, dancing or like, ask them to do like crazy lip syncing videos, you know, verse and a chorus of whatever song, you know what I mean? And you could do fun stuff with it.
I think you're describing TikTok now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I know. That's why I was thinking about TikTok.
It's also going the direction of like the karaoke. So you could turn your song into a karaoke video and then have people, you know, sing to it. And, you know, they could play the karaoke video in the background and sing to it or record themselves singing to it.
That's a great idea. That's super fun. Make a karaoke video of
who's the leader of the gang that's a treat for you and me.
Okay, cool. And
hey, Carrie, you're gonna have to sit in on one of the after parties for the rock and roll circus, and we're gonna have to see what you're like drunk, dude.
The next one I have is do an influencer video. Now, what I mean by this is you have people that have influenced you. And there's a couple different ways you can approach this. Is you could, if it's somebody who you can get access to, like a mentor, a teacher, somebody, you know, do like a conversation with them, and talk about talk to the person about how they influenced you and get it, like do all like kind of like an interview, with them. So that's another way. That's one way of doing an influencer video. Another way is to just get on and maybe play bits of music or whatever and talk about a musician, a guitar player, a drummer, a bass player, singer, songwriter, whoever who influenced you, and talk about what the influence was, why it was so important to you, what it meant to you, were these things that happened at certain times in your life when you were struggling, and tie it to a certain person, artist, teacher, mentor, something like that. So that is another type of video that you could do, is to do like what I call, I don't know, I just made that up, influencer video. I don't know if you guys have a better way of saying it. No? Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I know people who started their music career just because they were in love with one band, picked up a guitar, and they would literally play that one band's music over and over and over and over again. In that case, you know, they influenced you. You should go ahead and talk about how that influenced you, why it influenced you, what you're feeling at the time. And if you ever got the opportunity to get a backstage pass or something and talk to them, then, you know, discuss that.
This is the only one that I missed on my list. And if you guys want, you guys have any other comments, we can talk about that. Is interview other musician friends or band members. So, we did this in Strange Love. And you guys can do this with your own band, interview each member of the band. Or if you have, I'm sure you know other musicians. You better.
Yeah, and you've done this, Loom, and it's one of the first things that I did with you is you interviewed me.
Right, right. So
on your show. Yeah. And I've done a bunch of interviews since with people as well for little things like that. And sometimes that's just, sometimes that's open things. It's people that I just felt had an interesting story to tell and no one else was telling it, so I did. And that's on some light back on me as well as a result of doing that.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a professional journalist, podcaster, media personality. It's just you and that person having a conversation about them. Everybody is when I interview bands and stuff, like, especially guys that have never been interviewed before or nervous about it or whatever, we're just talking about you. And that's everybody's favorite subject is themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what they say when somebody opens their mouth, everybody, you know, they're talking more about themselves than anything else. So if there's certain things you really want to know or you think are really interesting, you know, make those talking points, jot down a few talking points and say, you know, I'm here with Joe Smith. Joe's in this great band that, you know, I've gone to see locally a bunch of times, you know, and I just wanted everybody here to know about Joe, what a great musician he is. And Joe, you know, how did you get started? You know, what inspired you to pick up the guitar or whatever in the first place? What are some of your influence? Yeah. What are some of your, what is your songwriting process? Whatever. So there's different questions you can ask. It doesn't have to be long. That's another thing. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, this isn't like inside the actor's studio or what's his name? The old newscaster who interviews musicians now. What's his name? Dan Rather. You know, the Dan Rather hour or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be anything. Like, it'd be very just a conversation. location. So don't get yourself too like nerved up about doing something like that. Throw up Zoom, bring them on, talk for 15, 20 minutes, and boom. So you have something, you have content to give out to the fans, see what they like. That's all you can do. That's all I have. Those are about 10, there's about 10 there, I think, maybe a few more. To kind of inspire you guys, give you guys some ideas. Anything else you guys want to, any other ideas you guys have on this? Or
there is one thing you haven't mentioned yet.
Sure.
And that's, we briefly mentioned TikTok when you talked about doing a daft dance, something like that. But this also brings into the area of challenges and, sort of viral challenges. So whether or not to take part in viral challenges. And it might be a certain dance you do. It might be like the ice bucket challenge or any certain things like that. So you've got to sort of decide if this is something that you want, or that if it's going to kill your persona too much to take part in this, or if it's something that you want to be seen to support. So that's one thing. I've got something else to mention as well, but thoughts on that?
Sure. Why not? There's a lot of different ways you can make up your own challenge. I know there's different challenges going that kind of floating around social media on any given day or any given week. Yeah, sure. Why not? I think it's a great idea.
I can see someone saying, hey, let's do like a baby shark challenge. And because maybe you're a steampunk band or something, and you do a steampunk version of baby shark, and it's not baby shark, it's whatever. I'm not in that industry, but you know, you can do challenges, or maybe it's doing a cover of your song. Hey, I'll do a challenge. Everybody who does a cover of my song.
I will sum up here. The sort of challenges I'm talking about here aren't ones that really show you off as a musician. They are just completely stupid ones that everybody's doing.
Oh, well,
like the ice bucket challenge.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Another kind of challenge that you could do is you could do a challenge for charity. You know, spend, you know, some kind of like, you know, how many, you know, okay, this might be impossible for a lot of you people, but this just came to my mind. How many masks can you sew a week? who sewed the most, you know, so show, you know, show sewing masks or handing out masks or, you know, handing out food or, like right now, where I have my brick and mortar, across the street, there's like an empty lot there, and every day a different restaurant comes out and hands out free meals. Okay, so that could be a kind of challenge. Like, how many free meals could you distribute to people who are, you know, quarantined, can't get out, maybe because they're elderly or whatever, they don't want to, you know. So, you know, how much money could you raise for your local food bank? Things like that. So those are different kind of challenges, challenge videos that you could do that are like kind of just could be. You could tie them to, you know, what's happening. And you guys may be listening to this a year from now. So whatever's going on in a year from now, or maybe everything's cool again. And there's always people in need. There's always nice things, you know, the smile challenge, the hug. Well, hugging is not a thing right now, unfortunately.
Bad example right now.
You know, but maybe it's a bad example right now. But there are different. I mean, there's and I know this is a stupid commercial. It's probably fake. There's a guy that, you know, his claim to fame was he handed out Hershey bars everywhere he went, and now Hershey's knows him. And now that could be something they just made up for the commercial. But again, that's the kind of thing. Like, you know, there's always kids in need. There's always, you know, that type of stuff. So there's different ways you could tie a chain, and it doesn't have to do anything. It's just doing something nice for people and doing a good thing. And this does give you cachet with fans. It does. They, you know, people see you doing cool stuff, you know, in an open hearted way. You don't want to be doing it in a smarmy way. No. You know, you don't want to be doing it to just kind of show off, like, you know, just because, you know, you think is. Proceed with a genuine, open spirit and a good attitude. That's all I can say about that. but yeah, challenge videos.
And then the opposite of that, the kind-hearted challenge videos, is when I say the opposite because I've got a particular example in mind.
Sure, go ahead.
But sometimes you might end up with a format that ends up eclipsing everything else that you put out there, including your music. Now we keep talking from time to time about Spectre Sound Studios and what he does. So a quick question, what are his most popular videos?
I know the Angry Musician Texts.
Yeah, well, the stupid things that people text to musicians.
Yeah.
And they are all like, really, it's basically texts from jerks that come to him in the studio or things that people send.
What he does, that's so brilliant, is he sort of takes his, Howard Stern used to do this too. He sort of takes his texts are the new version of hate mail, of mail.
Yeah.
So he takes like his hate mail and makes and he heads right into it, man, on his videos. Like he's like, sure, lay it on me, and he will challenge you like right now.
Yeah.
And he's good at these. Very quick, though. You got to, you know, that isn't for everybody.
It'll read him out in a stupid voice. And like,
yeah, he reads him out in a stupid voice. Yeah, it's really hilarious. Yeah, those are my. He has a lot of really good educational videos, but those are like my favorite ones.
Though. Yeah.
So you guys got some great ideas for things you can do. You're bored. You don't know what to do. You can't play gigs right now or whatever. Yes. Of course, be writing new songs. We talked about that, and recording. Yes, of course, you know, do some, you know, Facebook Lives where you performance videos, whatever. But you can do fun stuff like this. And this is going to set you apart a little bit from the guys that are just, you know, oh, I'll do a cover. I'll sing a cover every day. Well, you know, that's cool. You know, sure. But
it's a little bit different.
Yeah, what else you got? Yeah, let's make it fun. Let's get the audience involved. Let's have a good time with it. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Lou Dini. You can get a hold of me at loulombardirocks.com. That is our sort of go-to at the moment. So guys, check that out. Carrie JK, what is? How can people find out more about you?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
And Joe Freeman, who's not a free man at the moment.
OrangeTreeMarketing.com.
OrangeTreeMarketing.com. All right, guys.
Yeah, just hit me up there.
Check it out. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up in the future. And I think next week, let's do this. Next week, let's talk about this idea of exposure. When is exposure good? And when are you sort of just kind of being schnookered to do stuff for free because, you know, somebody doesn't want to have to pay you? Okay. So we'll I think that's good. That'll be next week's show. You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Because that's a topic that a lot of musicians bitch about. You see a lot of stuff on social media about that. So, all right, guys, have a great week. We'll catch you guys all on the next Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. Take care, guys.